Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan is telling colleagues he won't push for a third speaker vote today after failing on the first two. CBS's Scott McFarland says it doesn't mean he's withdrawing, but instead biding for time with the temporary speaker, perhaps getting more power for now.
There was every expectation Jim Jordan was going to lose more defectors inside his own party if he walked back on the House floor and tried this on a third ballot. So behind closed doors, as the morning ended today, he talked to his fellow Republican conference members about temporarily getting behind, expanding the portfolio and the powers of Speaker Pro Tem Patrick McHenry.
Now to Georgia, where former Trump lawyer Sidney Powell pleaded guilty today to reduce charges in the election case that has ensnared the former president and 17 others. Legal analyst Lori Levinson says it opens the door to Powell perhaps testifying against Trump and others.
This is much more helpful for the prosecution and a sign to Trump that people surrounding him, who appeared to be so loyal, in the end, are going to save their own skin.
Overseas, some aid trucks are poised to head into Gaza, not clear exactly when. The head of Egypt's food bank says it can't get there fast enough.
At the border, there are around 120 trucks stationed there. And then you have also around 7 to 8 cargo planes load of supplies.
Israel's defense minister has told ground troops to be ready to enter the Gaza Strip. The State Department is urging all Americans abroad to use caution. Here at home, there have been increased threats of violence because of the Middle East situation. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
I've also directed our U.S. attorneys to reach out to religious and other community leaders in their districts to reaffirm our commitment to them and to assess what additional support they may need.
Netflix is raising prices for its premium and basic plans on the heels of membership growth that exceeded expectations during the summer months. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
As competition between streaming companies has been heating up, they've also been increasing prices to help make bigger and better shows and movies to draw people in.
There's a new recall from the toy maker Fisher-Price.
It's a busy day on the railway for Thomas and Friends.
Thomas and Friends wooden railway troublesome truck and crates and truck and paints being recalled because a small piece containing a magnet can come loose, posing choking and ingestion hazards. More than 20,000 have been sold here in the U.S. Checking Wall Street's, right now the Dow is up 136 points. The S&P is up 16. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-737-9944. That's 1-800-737-9944. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-737-9944. That's 1-800-737-9944.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Friday, October 20th. The Fall Legislative Breakfast will be held from 7 to 9 a.m. at Mid-State Technical College. School board members, local leaders, and community members will hear an update from legislators and local community official representatives. The Wood County Unit of the Wisconsin Towns Association will meet at 7 p.m. at the Town of Wood Town Hall in Pittsville. In Adams County, the Ethics Board will meet from 9 to 10 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. The Wisconsin Rapids Winter Farmers Market begins this Saturday. It's held in the Moravian Church basement from 9 to 2 at 310 First Avenue South. Find fall favorites, bakery goods, microgreens, and more at the Winter Farmers Market. The ODC Free Haunted House is this Friday and Saturday in Wisconsin Rapids. Tours run from 6 to 9:30 both evenings. This event is family-friendly and wheelchair accessible. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. High of 56. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows level off around 46. Overcast. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 60. A mix of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zobbers on the board. It is Thursday, October 19th, 2023. Welcome to the show. That is an indication right there. That is the way this show is going to go. Welcome into the show today, everybody. Bear with us. We are trying something new, live and on the air. So there will be new breaks today. Things are going to seem maybe a little disconcerted. Big things are coming next Monday. We'll talk about that more in the second hour. But if things sound a little off, if I'm a little off, well, I'm always a little off. So that won't be dramatically different. But if things sound off, it's because they are. Zomers and I were talking yesterday. I'm taking these dance classes right now, the Betty Hayes School of Dance. 16 years I was the MC and engineer for the Betty Hayes School of Dance in Southwest Wisconsin.
An impressive career.
Well, not so much me, but her, certainly. But here's the thing I learned from Betty Hayes. You want to have a dress rehearsal. You don't want to just, you know, send your dancers out on stage and never dance, but you want to have a dress rehearsal, you understand?
So that's why we've got this.
That's kind of, well, and usually, normally you don't do it in front of the audience. But here, this is fantastic because for our listeners across the state of the Civic Media app can see how the sausage is made. So we're trying out new commercials here and a new commercial slots. So it may sound a little off today, but it'll get there. It'll get there, and we're very happy to have you along. Big show today, talking more about the University of Wisconsin system in crisis, and we have two wonderful.
You mean the universities of Wisconsin, Todd?
Just like Twitter, I'm not calling it X, and I'm not calling it Universities of Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, I'm not calling it that either.
Right? It is. That's what they changed the branding to. But yes, universities. Of Wisconsin, or as I like to still call it, the UW system. Steve Wildeck, who is a Vice Chancellor Emeritus of the UW Colleges and UW Extension, and also Greg Lampe, Provost and Vice Chancellor Emeritus of UW Colleges and UW Extension, are both here live. And that's why things on the stream look a little bit different, because we rarely, I'm not sure if it's my body odor or what, but we rarely have guests in the studio. But we're happy to have these fine gentlemen here. And this is one of the great things, opportunities to have this program, is to dig down into the facts, beyond the hyperbole, beyond the yelling, screaming, and accusations. Let's just look at the facts. I think that's a great way to start. So Steve Wildeck and Greg Lempe are going to be here and talking about what's happening at the University of Wisconsin system. Of course, Oshkosh, UW-Oshkosh. It was revealed this week that 1 in 6 jobs are going to be cut or are being cut. Also, one of their satellite campuses, the two-year campus, UW-Fond du Lac, is being closed, along with UW-Washington County, which is a satellite of UW-Milwaukee. And also UW-Richland, a satellite now of UW-Platteville. And by the way, there are more cuts coming next week, as we found out that president of the UW system, Jay Rothman, is announcing another round of cuts at UW-Platteville proper, the four-year school, next week. I happen to believe that if you look at this, and the only significant thing in this rebranding goofiness that they did, $500,000, by the way, is they literally took off the two-year campuses from the map of the UW system. There's only the 13 four-year schools left on the map. You put that together with what Howard Markline did and Tony Kurtz introducing this legislation that's being circulated for co-sponsorship, last I heard, where they want to give $2 million for each community where they close a school. Well, at the time of that legislation, there had only been two, Richland and Washington, and they had the legislation for three. Now they're going to need maybe four, five, six. I honestly believe, not hyperbole, that every two-year center campus is in jeopardy of closing. We heard from former Associate Dean of Student Affairs, John Poole, at Richland earlier this week. I believe he said he goes along with that, that there is a real danger of that. So we're going to ask Steve Wildeck and Greg Lempe about that. Also, taking a look at the House Speaker's race within the last hour or so, it was announced by Gymnasium GYM Jim Jordan of Ohio that he will not, at least for now, seek another round of voting to try to get him into the Speaker's chair. Says he's going to hold off for now. Not saying he won't run again, but holding off for now. And now there's real momentum. We talked about that on this show before. Real momentum for Speaker Pro Tem Patrick McHenry to possibly become either empowered more to run the House, or also perhaps just say that they'll make him, the permanent Speaker. So we'll be covering that in hour number two as well. President Biden is set to address the nation tonight at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. President Biden has returned from Israel and the situation there, the war on Israel. And he is going to give an update, I believe, from the White House later on. Well, actually tonight at 7 o'clock. So we'll talk a little bit about that in the second half of the show as well in hour number two. But here's what we're going to do. And for those of you watching on the stream, this is fantastic because you get to it's like going to a theater. Have you ever been to this, Somers? Been to like a theater production, and they choose not to lower the curtain in between scene changes, and you get to see how the scene is done.
Yeah, which is always really interesting. Sometimes there's practical reasons, sometimes artistic reasons they do that. I've also just worked behind the scenes anyway. So either way, getting to see how the sausage made.
Getting to know all about you. Anyway, so here's what we're going to do. Normally we would take a break at this time, but we don't have anything quite lined up, or at least Todd doesn't. So we're going to play one of my favorite songs, a little bit of about a minute or so of Kenny Chesney, because I think it encapsulates where we want to go here. And that is, can't everybody just get along? Right? That's what we need. We need more. I hear this from our listeners, people where we've talked about issues that.
When you think of pizza, do you think of a ham roll-up pizza? This off-the-wall culinary masterpiece will keep you coming back. Who makes this fresh, mouth-watering pizza? Club Forest Bar & Grill on Highway 54. Their ham roll-up pizza features ham and pickles with a cream cheese sauce. Yum! Don't sit in the kitchen and cook during the next pregame. Call Club Forest Bar & Grill, 715-345-1220, and let them do the work for you. Club Forest Bar & Grill, proud supporters of Pet of the Week with James Maloff, every Thursday at 9 a.m. Youth sports are community sports. When you run into an old friend while you're cheering on your local team,
hi there,
or making your way back to your seat and asking what you missed, Youth Athletics brings the community together. Help us support local high school and amateur sports by joining our team of amazing sponsors. Call Ashley today at 715-496-0710. That's 715-496-0710. And join us as we continue to keep our community connected.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Choosing where you get your mortgage is important. You may be a home buyer looking for mortgage options, or a homeowner looking for a home equity line of credit. That's why you should consider a trusted partner like Members Advantage Credit Union. They can provide low and competitive rates and closing costs with free and easy pre-approval. Visit membersadvantagecu.com to learn about home loans or home equity options. That's membersadvantagecu.com. Members Advantage Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender and federally insured by the NCUA.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Find out when you die. To heaven can't be bought. We still don't know what love is, but we sure know what it's not. Sometimes you got to get a long, long down the road. We got a long, long way to go. Scared to live, scared to die. We ain't perfect, but we try. Get along while we can. Always give love the upper hand. Paint a wall, learn to dance. Call your mom, buy a boat. Sing a song, make a friend, can't we all get along?
Perfect timing from Kenny Chesney. Can't we all get along? Great song here on a Thursday afternoon, October 19th, 2023. Welcome back into the program. Mr. Zomer's on the board. And again, we appreciate you bearing with us as we try out some on the fly, a little different breaks than we don't normally have. So that's why we have the music interlude, you know. But I and our guests here on this hour in this show, first of all, we have Greg Lampe, who is the Provost and Vice Chancellor Emeritus of the UW Colleges and UW Extension, and Steve Wildeck, Vice Chancellor Emeritus of the UW Colleges and UW Extension. Gentlemen, I appreciate you taking the time not just to be here today and talk about these issues, but also for this editorial that you have written. I know it's going to start appearing in different publications around the state. But before we get into that, Greg, a little bit about yourself, kind of where did you grow up and how did you get involved in the system? And then we'll ask Steve the same thing. And when you talk, gentlemen, you kind of have to eat the microphone and get okay. right into it. All right.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for having us, too. Mm-hmm. I grew up in New Rochelle, New York, right outside New York City. I came to Wisconsin after graduate school. I graduated with my master's from DeKalb, Illinois in communication arts, and then came into Wisconsin and started teaching at UW-La Crosse in 1978. And that was my entry into UW system. After 5 years, I was successful in gaining employment at UW-Marshfield, Wood County, which is the two-year campus in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. And I spent the rest of my career basically in the colleges. So I was in the system for over 40 years at the end of my career, and retired just recently in June 30th of this year. But I worked my way up through the academic levels. Like, I started as instructor, then to assistant professor, associate, and eventually full professor. I served as the associate vice chancellor for academic affairs for about 3 or 4 years, and then served as the provost and vice chancellor for academic affairs for the colleges for 9 years, and then retired after that, and then got rehired to work within the system office.
I wish we only could have found people that were actually experienced for the show today.
Yeah, a lot of background in academic affairs.
No, but
academic
the point
work.
Is, I appreciate this. This is exactly what we need, gentlemen, is people who aren't just like, you know, goofballs like me who might know a little bit but are on have a microphone, but people who have been there. And we're going to come back and hear from Steve Wildeck on the other side. We're in a new commercial rotation. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. More on the other side. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Give the gift of a hobby with a home brewing or winemaking starter kit from the Wine and Hop Shop. The shop starter kits and free expert advice make brewing beer and making wine a snap. Be a holiday hero and visit the Wine and Hop Shop at 1919 Monroe Street in Madison or wineandhop.com today.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the show. It is now 20 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. This is going to take a while for me to get used to, Zomers.
You and me both.
I'm used to saying certain things. So you guys are our guinea pigs. I apologize. We're doing new commercial rotations today.
Okay. I've been called worse.
Our guests today are Greg Lampe. We've heard from him, a provost and vice chancellor emeritus. And next up on deck is Steve Wildeck. I didn't intend that, but it rhymed kind of. A vice chancellor emeritus of the UW Colleges and Extension as well. Steve, tell us a little bit about you, where you came from, and how you got into the system.
Todd, first of all, thanks for having us on today. And I need to point out that one of the most famous roles that Greg had in his career was driving a Good Humor truck on the New Jersey Turnpike in New York.
Well, everybody loves the ice cream guy, right?
Yeah, the Good Humor Man. That's right.
And there's more to that story, but we don't have time. Todd, I got my start in the UW system in 1979. I was born and raised in Dane County. Mm-hmm. I'm a farm kid. And I got my start at the UW-Madison, tending shrubbery and spraying weeds for UW-Madison in 1979. Later, I started college at UW-Madison, got my bachelor's degree in agriculture, later got an MBA, and put my way through school working for the parking and transportation office. I ticketed and towed cars on the Madison campus, which was one of the most valuable educations I could have received.
Really? How so?
It taught me how to form effective relationships and to communicate effectively for people coming at you for all kinds of reasons, as you can imagine.
That's super interesting to me. I never thought of that. But I mean,
throughout my career, I've been asked many times, where did you learn to communicate? And I, without hesitation, say ticketing and towing cars on the Madison campus.
Well, that skill certainly comes in useful in times like these. And I know this is not the first tumultuous episode in UW system history, but I like each of your perspectives. Would you call this one of, if not the largest crisis of the system to date, Steve?
I think the word crisis tends to be overused. I think that we are at an inflection point. When you start dismantling the system and you start shutting down campuses because it's difficult to continue in the moment, that's when you really have to step back and say, where are we going with this? And where do we want to be a generation from now and two generations from now? The county boards and city councils of the 1960s had those very discussions when they created these campuses. They knew where they wanted to be today. And I'm sure we'll get into this, but the UW system has other plans.
I appreciate your perspective, but I also think, as someone who grew up in Richland Center, one of the communities being directly affected, I think for people in Richland Center, in Washington County, in Fond du Lac, this is a crisis because they're completely losing the campus.
Yeah, and you know, those campuses, and I've literally lived on two of those campuses, one in Marshfield, a two-year campus there, and at Rock County. And during that time, I really came to understand how embedded those campuses are in the community. I mean, they not only offer like access to education, but they offer access to continuing education. You had mentioned in an earlier conversation about international students learn how to communicate across cultures. We have continuing education courses, self-improvement and building knowledge outside of the classroom. And of course, we have the arts, which can't be overstated because these small rural communities need to have a place where you hear great music, see great plays, hear great literature, and so on.
The Wisconsin idea is something we used to hear a lot about in this state from both Republicans and Democrats, quite frankly. I'm a firm believer in it because I'm a product of it. I'm a kid that grew up in a town of 5,000 people, 99% white in Richland County in southwest Wisconsin. And through UW Richland, the international student program there, the CASP program, that was started by, you know, helped start in Congress by a Republican, former, you know, Senator Bob Caston. Think of that. Put, you know, in today's context. And then a guy by the name of Tom Oates, who's no longer with us, who was the dean at Richland and involved at Georgetown. Bringing those international students from Central America changed my life because it gave me some of my best friends, and the mother of both my godsons is originally from El Salvador. And it completely changed my life. And I don't say that lightly about, I think that's a phrase is over. Oh, that changed my life. That's an overused phrase as well, I think. But I mean, these campuses have that kind of impact. Is the Wisconsin, it seems like in all this discussion, there seems to be a loss of the Wisconsin idea.
I think the significant part and the crisis, if you will, at the local level is that when communities stepped forward in the late 50s and the 60s, and paid their franchise fee with the blessing of the Board of the of Regents and the legislature to have a UW campus in their communities, it upped the ante on the obligation that the system has in return to maintain viability so that those campuses can continue to serve those communities. They made these decisions very intentionally back in the 1960s. And I can tell you, as the vice chancellor for colleges and extension for 20 years, they continued to take this very, very seriously. When you've got bond issues by a county government for $10 million to invest in facility improvements at their local UW campus, okay, money is not that plentiful at the county level.
Right.
That takes a lot of guts and a lot of priority for them to continue to invest in those campuses over all of those years.
About 2.5 minutes left. Let's ask you first, Greg, your take. We come back to the side. I want to see what your take. We could do an hour on this, but in the short version, how do you think we got here all these closures and these cuts to system? How do we get here?
That's an excellent question. And I think in the early 2000s, at least in the colleges, in the UW colleges, we saw sort of the cliff coming in terms of enrollments, in terms of students graduating from high school. We were really proactive, and we tried to build our returning adult base. There was a lot of planning. And I think how we got here now, at least since 2015, 16, when we all could see, when the data was showing, it's coming, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
But this was some time ago. Then I think, you know, that there was just a lack of planning. What are we going to do proactively? One of those proactive measures was to take the two-year campuses and put them together with a regional campus. What was the plan? How is that, how is that going to work in light of these enrollment challenges? And how are the two-year campuses going to then help sustain, right?
Right.
The university. I'll be quiet.
No, that's fine. I'm looking at the new clock, so I apologize.
That's right.
But I think we're going to come back and talk about this because last November, after it was announced that Richland was suspending classes, basically closing down, we had, I believe, your former boss, Kathy Sandeen, who was the chancellor of the College of Extension. She came on last fall. And to your point, she said when Ray Cross threw this all together, there was no plan. And she had actually sat down with her team and created a plan, reviewed all of this, acknowledged changing demographics and changing times. There needed to be adjustments, but to do so without closing one campus. And they actually had a marketing firm. It was called Wisconsin Here, I believe. And Ray Cross killed it. Dead on arrival. DOA. I would say a lack of leadership. That's my...
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. The Wood County Health Department announces a free COVID-19 treatment telehealth program offered to Wisconsinites over age 18. There's no charge to meet with a clinician over a computer, smart device, or phone.
If you've tested positive for COVID-19, you can schedule an appointment with a clinician to determine your eligibility for antiviral treatment. You can call 1-833-273-6330. Clinicians are available 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. This program will be available at least through December this year. The River City's Nordic Ski Club is looking for additional volunteers to help maintain the cross-country ski trails at NEPCO Lake County Park this year. You can contact the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department for more information. Reminder that all Wisconsin Rapids park restrooms will close for the season this Sunday, October 22nd. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers hit the road to take on the Fighting Illini. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
You can choose your mood. You can choose to, well, you know what? I didn't get much sleep last night, but I'm still going to have a good day, or still going to give it all I can, or be in a good spirit when I do the morning show today.
That's what I do every day with you, too.
I was going to say, what, you mean my normal mood of what, mild contempt for everyone around me? Okay, yeah, that's usually what I'm doing, yeah.
Sarcasm extraordinaire.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 a.m. right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with scattered rain showers likely. High of 56. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tonight. Lows level off around 46. Overcast. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 60. A mix of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
It's killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Bad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Yeah.
Life May Lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media app. Don't have the app, you say? Well, now's a great time to do it. Simply download it on your Apple or Android device. Takes less than a minute. It is free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Did you know that? It's a deal. The Civic Media app. Welcome back in. Now 34 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Trying out some new time clocks. If you're listening in and saying, why are they taking breaks now? A new time clock rotation. So welcome in, one and all. Steve Wildeck and Greg Lampe are here. They are our guests. Steve, a vice chancellor emeritus of the colleges and extension at UW. And Greg, a provost and vice chancellor emeritus of the colleges and extension. I know my military rankings pretty well because I worked on military issues for former Congressman Scott Klug. I never got onto the, I could never understand all the academic ones. So as a provost, you actually outrank Steve, is that right?
Well, it's like the second in command.
All right.
If something goes wrong, like if the chancellor can't serve, the provost can act on the chancellor's behalf. That's the provost title.
Got it. You're kind of like the vice president. You're a heartbeat away from the chancellorship.
But, you know, and that's negotiable, right? Because we learned that. But Steve was the vice chancellor for administration and finance.
Mm, all right.
And I was on the academic part of the partnership, and
sure,
he was on the finance part. And we ended up having, you know, we worked together for, you know, at least a long time.
Well, universities function best when the chancellor's out front and the provost and the CFO are partnering on everything that's done operationally within the university.
Steve, I want to get to your take. Before the break, we asked Greg, got his take. What's your take on, with all these closures, layoffs, what is it, in your opinion, that led us to this point? What caused it?
Well, historically, within the university, the first thing we want to do is blame the legislature and blame decreasing appropriations for higher ed, and they don't like us, and so on. I'm not going to spend any time on that. I think if you look back about 10 or 12 years ago, you saw a very marked drop-off in the transparency of decision-making by UW system leadership. I went back in the Board of Regents minutes for several months up to a year to see what kind of public conversations there were about campus pressures that even came close to closures. I couldn't find any record in the minutes. Now, I didn't obsess over those minutes. I could have missed it. I didn't find it. I went back a year ago to see if there was any discussion about Richland Center. I could not find it. So increasingly, we have seen for over a decade that decisions are made, solutions, quote, are set into place, and then they are brought forward as decisions. And if I'm close to quoting President Rothman when he visited Richland Center, I think he said, and Todd, correct me if I'm wrong,
go ahead,
this is a done deal, but I'm here to listen.
I'll stand corrected by people like John Poole and people we had on Monday from Richland Center. To my knowledge, Jay Rothman has never set foot in Richland County.
Oh, okay.
The vice president, Jeff Brandt, has blown into town a couple of times, but that's not fair. He's probably been there a half a dozen. But I don't think that was part of the angst, Steve, is that the people at Richland Center said, if only President Rothman had come and visited us once, had sat down and listened to us once. That's part of the anger out there.
So here's the real problem as I see it. The lack of transparency and the lack of public debate and discussion has created a vacuum of pressure on elected officials. The public can't act before these decisions are made. The public can't discuss and apply pressure to those that ultimately make these decisions in elected office if the information isn't out there in the public domain. And so somehow we have to get back to that going forward. But I think that is largely responsible for how we got to this situation today.
And a good example of what Steve is saying just happened recently in Washington County, where the Washington County folks saw the writing on the wall, that this is before the decision was made, and formed their own task force and came up with a proposal, you know, to merge the campus, the Washington County campus, with the local technical college, dismissed out of hand. Not even, as I understand it, a discussion around it. Maybe that decision had already been made to close the campus, So it's hard to know.
Yeah.
And then they handed it off to UW Milwaukee, and again they had some recommendations, but I don't think any of those recommendations were taken seriously.
From what I want to be fair. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
To support that, looks like John Poole is watching on the stream, and he says, "I don't believe Rothman ever visited Richland. The announcement last November and the one this week both came without any communication with county leadership."
There you go. Well, John was associate dean of student affairs at Richland Center a long time, and he would know. So I appreciate John. Thank you so much for clarifying that. And I think that's part of the angst. I want to get back quickly before we move on, but I want to just button this up that when Ray Cross was the president and we had former Chancellor Sandeen on last fall and saying there was a plan, it was largely ignored, to your point, Steve, that there was so much lack of, and there was no trans, you know, I knew Ray Cross very well, by the way, when I worked in the legislature, and he was, when he was president or the chancellor of the colleges, he was up there all the time. But when he became president, he shut down all this transparency. They're public universities and the public isn't included.
Well, I'll go back to the moment in October of 2017 that UW Colleges and UW Extension was announced as about to be disbanded as institutions. Greg had retired in July of that year, so he kind of missed out on that fun. But in October of 2017, we, the leadership of Colleges and Extension, were called to the system offices to be given the news that we would be dissolved as institutions and that our programming parts and campuses would go elsewhere. I can tell you that if there was a plan, it was on the back of a napkin, because we immediately got into two problems.
Yeah.
As a system, we got into two sources of trouble. One was the accreditation body for the entire UW system stepped forward and said, wait just a minute. We are not going to automatically bless accreditation on the transfer of these campuses to the four-year institutions.
Wow.
And if you know anything about higher ed, if you don't have accreditation, you can close because your degrees are valueless. The second area where we got into trouble was in our ability to continue to deliver federal financial aid to students. Okay, you can't get any closer to the jugular other than accreditation than your ability to disperse financial aid.
Yeah.
And I won't go on anymore about those, but those are two areas where we got into trouble, and people largely didn't know it outside of the system.
And the final thing before we move on to now the future, but the final thing is, I think this lack of transparency, this lack of public involvement to this day from the 17th floor of Van Nuys continues. I mean, Jay Rothman is an attorney. He might be a fine guy, might be a great attorney. He's never been in academics before. We have people up there who are former legislative flacks like me who are not academics. There is no transparency with the public here. And to me, guys, I think that's what's so frustrating, is that Rothman wouldn't come out there. What's her name? Tammy Avedovich, now the chancellor at Platteville. She never came and talked to anyone. I mean, she talked to a couple of county board members, I think, on the phone, but there was no public input. And it's like, just be honest with us. Lee Sherman Dreyfus, former governor, used to just tell it like it is.
Well, and I can tell you, Greg, you remember the pain of when we had to reorganize in 2015 following the enormous cuts in state assistance by the Walker administration at the time. The first thing we always did when we had to deliver bad news is we got out to the campuses and we stood in front of the faculty, staff, and students and gave that news personally.
Yeah. Let's take a caller very quickly. Jan, you've been very patient on the phone from Monona Grove. Jan, what's your question?
Yeah, I am fascinated by this discussion, and I think it might be helpful to look at colleges and universities in neighboring states for comparison. For example, if you look at the state of Iowa, Iowa only has three public universities, Iowa City, which is the University of Iowa, Iowa State in Ames, and the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls. Compare that to Wisconsin, that has three UW campuses, like about 40 miles apart, in River Falls, Menominee, and Eau Claire. I think Wisconsin drastically overbuilt four-year campuses. probably in reaction to the baby boom, thinking we just didn't have space for everybody that was coming in this generation of kids born after World War II. And I think Governor Lucey was very politically astute to try and respond to some of this pressure. However, what's happened is we have way too many campuses, and we just don't have kids anymore. That's why we're closing our doors in some of these places.
Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Gentlemen?
I can go first. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate the question. Wisconsin, the UW system grew up from a tradition of teachers' colleges and normal schools throughout the state. Wisconsin's been very progressive since it became a state. And in the 1960s, the state really put a stake in the ground and said, we are going to bifurcate our systems of higher education. We're going to have job training and applied education and in the form of our technical colleges. And we're going to have lifelong professional career education for those in the university system. And that served us really well for a few decades. But the other states that you're referring to were much more quick to develop comprehensive community colleges, where in a single location you can begin your college education and then decide, am I on the university track or am I on the occupational and technical track? Mm-hmm. That's what a community college is. We have a few of them in this state, in Madison, Milwaukee, Nicolet, Chippewa Falls, and so on. But we are not a community college state.
Right.
And other states, and in other states, you mentioned Iowa, the front door for a college education in Iowa is largely the community colleges. Minnesota is similar, although they have more state universities. In Wisconsin, we don't have those points of access unless we step back and decide, you know what, it's 2025, 2023, 24. Now's the time for us to, pardon the expression, get with the program
right,
and make it easier for people in communities to attend college.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll just say that in Wisconsin, we have we're really in a rare space in some ways, because most two-year campuses in other states are not only community colleges, but we tout our campuses as liberal arts colleges or two-year associate degree campuses. And we force the students to make decisions early. Am I going to be into technical education, vocational technical, or am I going to pursue, you know, something in the liberal arts and get a four-year degree? And I think that's a false choice. I think it'd be easier, as Steve was saying, to have a community-based college where students would be able to experiment and try out, you know, different right. options.
I think I'll just say this. I appreciate the caller, Jan.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Shows and hosts are active on social media, too. Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock on Tuesday, October 19th. Mr. Zommer is on the board. Appreciate your listenership across the state of Wisconsin and around the world. Steve Wildeck and Greg Lampe are our guests this hour, talking about several words to put on it, but things are a-changing at UW System, and I think for a lot of folks, his opinion, not for the good. We spent a lot of time on trying to focus on or talk about how we got here. Let's talk about where you folks, based on your experience, the opportunities that lie ahead. And let's focus on what we can do. You've written this great editorial. I've read it. Whichever one you want us to go first. What are some of the kind of the key highlights? Why did you write it, and what are some of these key highlights?
Well, I think, you know, we wrote it because we're concerned, right? We, you know, I'll just say for myself, my identity, my work identity, basically I came of age in the UW colleges within UW system. I am also a graduate of UW-Madison, and my PhD was from Madison. So I have a long, deep investment. And when I saw the closing of two-year campuses, you know, I worked almost my entire career as an administrator to keep our campuses open, and mostly for the sake of the students, right? The students always came first. And I see this as really not only disadvantaging communities, but this really hurts students in terms of access. And you know that firsthand from being at Richland.
I certainly do.
Right,
Steve?
There.
Well, and I agree with everything that Greg said, of course. I think that, going forward, we are lagging our neighboring states in the attractiveness that our university system has to high school graduates. One of the things we pointed out in the editorial was that the participation rate for high school graduates has fallen. It's fallen 4 percentage points in the last 5 years.
Wow.
from the system's own data. Mm-hmm. So what that means is, and it has no connection to whether or not the number of high school graduates is rising or falling, but the percentage of those that are available, the UW system last year drew 27% from its own data on its website, mm-hmm. 27% of those high school graduates. And 5 years ago, we were drawing 31%. That is, there's a serious concern with where we're going as a state.
One of the things that you put in there is to involve, you talk about involving the public. What are your ideas to help involve the public, your suggestions moving forward?
Well, there are a lot of ways to do that. One of the ways that I really believe in is that listening forum where you bring community members together before decisions are made.
Mm-hmm.
You bring people together to talk about what's on the horizon, and you try to get, you know, the best thinking you can from the communities and the stakeholders. That way you can make not only informed decisions, but may actually form some of those decisions. So I'm a huge proponent of open public civic discourse before changes are made.
Right.
Exactly. So that to me is a huge part of this problem, is there's not public input. And, you know, I mean, I don't mean just a token public input, right, like one meeting. I mean state, going to different places in the state and gathering public opinion, public ideas to inform the future.
And Steve, this is not a, I mean, it's a new idea for this, but I mean, joint finance committee goes around the state and it takes all kinds of public information. Other committees in the legislature have done the same. Former Governor Thompson, interim President Thompson used to go to move government around the state.
That's right. And I think this has to be a multi-pronged approach. So I agree with everything that Greg said. I think we're at the point where the legislature has to grab this and say, okay, stop. We're not going to shut down any more campuses put your time frame on it, a year. We're going to place a moratorium on any more closures, including the ones that were just announced, by the way. We're going to create a commission, which used to not be an unusual thing to do,
right,
at the state level.
Yeah.
And we're going to create a commission that has public involvement, goes around the state, really finds out what's on the minds of the people of the state. It's easy for me to sit back and say, boy, am I glad my kids are through college, mm-hmm, because, mm-hmm, of everything that's happening today. We have an obligation to the kids of our kids,
right,
and their kids, to make sure that the same advantages are there for them. So I think the very first thing we have to do, and the legislature as the bosses of the university, and our university system is statutorily created, which means it is responsible to the elected officials of the state. The legislature has to come forward and say, we're stopping this.
Right.
And then we're going to take action.
Do you think, you guys have been around, you know, a long time, I don't mean that in an ageist type of way, but I mean, you've had a lot of experience. I mean, we get together, one of my colleagues down in Milwaukee, you know, we cleaned up for radio. We've seen a lot of stuff. We've been around for a while. Without being too political, in your experience, isn't it odd at best that we haven't heard a thing from the president of the Board of Regents? You don't hear from the regents anymore. We haven't heard anything from the education governor, Tony Evers, who I support. Nothing from him. We haven't heard anything from the chair of the university's committee in the legislature about this. I mean, it is just radio frequency silence.
The only ones I've heard from are elected officials at the county and city level.
To my point, I just think it's weird.
It is. And, you know, one thing I learned about Wisconsin, I was a board of trustee for my local municipality, and I took a civics class, and I learned about the history of government in Wisconsin. It's local.
Right.
So I'm not surprised that the county and the city folks are really engaged in these conversations. And I don't know this, but my theory is that perhaps our legislature doesn't see government as local. Or the system, because we worked within the UW system for a number of years, and that consultation component is what you described. Mm-hmm. Make a decision and then get input, response. And that's
I'll be the political one for a second, because as a former Republican, I left the party in 2011. What you just said, Greg, was something that Tommy Thompson and Republicans, it was gospel. The decisions are made best closer to the people. Local, not Madison. Madison, not Washington. That was the mantra at one time of the party that now controls the legislature, to your point, doesn't seem to want to talk. I mean, they go out and have quote-unquote listening sessions. I'm not making this up. I was there and saw it firsthand. And they don't respond. They just stand there.
Yeah.
And again, I think, Steve, you made the point. There's this weird, I get part of it. It's money in politics. Things have changed. Things have gotten hyperpartisan. But we have to just put that aside for Wisconsin. You want to come back for another 10 minutes, the hour number two?
Yes.
All right. We're going to bring it back, because this is an important discussion about the future of the state of Wisconsin. We'll look at the positives moving ahead, what we can do, what you can do in your local community. We'll take your phone calls as well if you want to give us a call. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to pva.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.